Good afternoon. I'd like to call House Transportation Committee to order. It's 1:20 p.m. on Tuesday, March 13th. I guess it's all written down here, but yes. Present members today are Representative Newman, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Drummond, Representative Kopp, myself, Co-Chair Wool. We do have a quorum to conduct business. We're also joined by Sandra Edwardson from House Records, Eileen Keem from the LIO, and Transportation Committee aide today is Graham Judson. I didn't know that was your last name, Graham. On the agenda today is House Bill 314, Definition of Commercial Motor Vehicles, by request of the governor. We have Deputy Commissioner John Binder on the line to introduce the bill to the committee. And in the room, we have Division Director Dan Smith to walk us through the details. So if Deputy Commissioner Binder, if you can hear us, if you can put yourself on the record and present the bill, that would be great.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. This is Deputy Commissioner John Binder with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, here to introduce House Bill 314 today. Thank you to you and members of the committee for the opportunity to testify. House Bill 314 proposes to bring Alaska's definition of a commercial motor vehicle into the 21st century. House Bill 314's proposed changes will benefit farmers who transport agricultural commodities or supplies in Alaska because existing restrictions on farm vehicles limit their movement to within 150 miles of the farmer's farm. HB 314 would also allow farmers to operate anywhere in Alaska. Moving ahead for progress in the 21st Century Act, commonly known as MAP 21, made the federal regulation of farmers less restrictive than our currently existing language in Alaska statute. HB 314 also proposes that the transportation of hazardous materials be amended to only apply to quantities of substances that require a placard, regardless of the size of the vehicle. And finally, the definition of school bus is updated to provide clarity for which school buses are exempt from commercial motor vehicle requirements. At this point, I'd like to pass to Director Smith for some additional amplification and to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Binder. I'd like to note that Representative Klayman joined us just a few minutes ago. And with that, Mr. Smith, if you want to introduce yourself and continue on, that'd be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Dan Smith, and I'm the Director of Measurement Standards and Commercial Vehicle Enforcement. This bill really does three things as I walk you through it. In Section 1, this first change is to mirror a change that we're doing in 1910-399. That was our intent, was to change 399. 1910-300 is financial responsibility. So in the definitions in 2899-90 and 1910-399, when we use the word vehicular way or area, they're used together. They don't have separate definitions. So that was just a little bit of a cleanup that we were doing there. On page 2, this is the main meat of the bill. This is where we introduce the term covered farm vehicle. It's the term that was generated from MAP 21. It has nothing to do with a cover over the load. It's just the terminology that they use to get the vehicle into the definition where they would be exempt from certain requirements.
Sorry. Can I request that, for those that don't know, can you define MAP 21?
Yes, sir. That's the Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century. That was the federal transportation reauthorization that brought about this language.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just for clarity, because that last point is a kind of an important, I know when I talk to the folks in my office on this, because they're covered, you know, as in, i.e., they're covered by their insurance. I just want to make sure that the public was aware of that, because it was something that jumped out at me, too. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Covered meaning insured, not covered like a covered wagon.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We did have a covered load bill not too long ago, and thank you for that clarification.
So presently in 1910-399, farm vehicles, when they're operated away from a farmer's farm after 150 air miles from the center of that farm, they would then be regulated as a motor carrier. This change with the language of this bill would allow them to operate anywhere in the state of Alaska as a farm vehicle, therefore relieving them from a lot of regulations that are required of motor carriers.
Can, can I stop you right there? A motor carrier, how is commercial vehicle?
Yes. Mr. Chair, that would be a carrier of either passengers or property that had operating authority and the ability to carry either private, meaning their material that may be used in the furtherance of their business, or a property carrier when they're carrying somebody else's property in furtherance of their business.
Thank you.
Section 2 clarifies some language for hazardous materials. Presently, commercial vehicles.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just on that point that was just made, you said something about 150 miles, but about carrying their own property or other people's property. Is there a difference there in how the statute looks at that on the load of whether it's a motor carrier or a carrier or not?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, yes. There is a distinction between a private motor carrier and then a motor carrier who would then be in the business of transporting other people's goods. They would have a different type of operating authority.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Mr. Representative Newman.
So what I'm thinking about, which happens quite often, is either like in Delta or in Homer, if farmers are maybe shipping cattle to the slaughterhouse in Mat-Su or something like that, they'll pick up cattle from other farmers. You know, would they be a transporter then and have to have some type of different license? Because that would seem very impractical.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, no, there are exceptions, additional exceptions outside of what we're just outlining in this bill that would allow relief from regulations for those drivers.
Okay. I'd like to
thank you, Mr. Chair. And could we kind of get an example of what that is? We maybe an understanding, or is that pretty much the gist of it?
Of what that would fall under if it was an exception to picking up someone else's.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it's just that Mr. Smith had said that, you know, my question was because they have a carrier, if it's somebody else's property, then they would be a carrier. And so, a lot of times farmers, they'll go get hay or fertilizer. One guy will make the trip with his semi or something and help everybody out, work in a cooperation like that, to make sure that this bill didn't make them so that they were carriers and have to have different license.
Cause I didn't right.
Think that was kind of, I just wanted some clarification on that.
That'd be great, because I thought I heard you said there's another exception for that. So that's not in this bill. So you're saying that they're exempted from commercial requirements even if they're caring for someone else that's not their own farmed goods. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and through the chair, Representative Newman, many, many exemptions exist for farmers, including transporting agricultural materials, livestock. Fertilizer is a great example of that. Fertilizer in quantity carried by a motor carrier would be treated as hazmat. The farm vehicle gets to carry a much larger capacity or nominal value of that hazardous material, and we don't regulate it as a hazardous material because they do get the exceptions, and it's the same exception that exists for the livestock.
One more follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know a little bit about this because it's been in the industry, but then with the hazardous placard, basically an all-around hazardous placard, I believe is a 1204 placard. They can just go to AIH or hardware store, Home Depot, buy a 1204 placard, put it on their trucks, and they're fine to go down the road.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, that class of hazardous material, that placard that you're discussing, class 3, yes, that covers a lot of the flammable liquids that a farmer would probably use in ordinary operations of their farm.
And follow up.
Follow up, Representative Newman.
And then, again, that's mainly so emergency services and stuff, if there's an accident or something, they can identify it as a hazardous load. And I'm just trying to make it so that we don't end up with farmers having to go get special licenses and stuff for doing this. But so you can just get a 1204 placard as kind of a, or something that talks, that's for hazardous waste, for fluids, but no special permits required or anything like that. Just to
through the chair, Representative Newman, no. We're looking to try to make this easy on both sides, as the enforcement community, emergency response community, and also the farm community. If we can clearly identify a farmer as a farmer through a unique designation on the registration or on the farm plate, for us to easily identify a vehicle not only helps us speed along to something a little more pressing like an imminent hazard or unsafe motor carrier, so we can quickly delineate and say this is a farm vehicle and it's meeting all the requirements and it has the exceptions for that person. It's challenging enough for farmers in the state of Alaska without additional regulation from us, I believe, and so I believe this is a good move to provide relief for both sides, for the enforcement community and for the farm community.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity. And I talked to Mr. Smith earlier, so I was a little bit more informed on this, but I just wanted to make sure, just for some basic understanding for the public. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And Mr. Smith alluded to a farm plate or something, which I imagine a farm vehicle will have, so that one will know that they're, for example, doing what looks like commercial is, in fact, covered under this bill as farm use.
Yes, Mr. Chair. A unique identifier on the registration or that plate makes it very easy for us to identify.
Okay. All right. You can continue. I'd like to note that Representative Stutes joined us about 1:25.
Thank you, and pardon my tardiness, Mr. Chair.
In Section 2, Line 15, we add the word motor vehicle. This is in line with the federal definition, and it also clearly identifies that we're not talking about human or animal-powered vehicles when we're talking about commercial motor vehicle. We then skip down to hazardous materials, and this is the situation we want to make extremely clear. There are times when a commercial vehicle is carrying an amount of hazardous material that does not require a placard. For instance, an owner of an air taxi may pick up a 55-gallon drum of avgas and transport it to the airport where they'll be pumping it into an airplane. That is not a sufficient quantity to require a placard, so we want to make that clear for the people who are doing this type of operations. The final part of this has to do with school buses. Presently, in 1910.399, it says that school buses are not commercial vehicles. And that's a little bit too broad and needs to be tightened up a little bit to be in line with the federal definition. There are exceptions for school buses, and those exceptions are from home to school and school to home. And so we call that school bus operations. But if a motor carrier is using a school bus, for instance, outside of the school year to take visitors to the state of Alaska from down here out to the glacier, they are then a motor carrier of passengers and are regulated as such.
Can you identify where in the what line that is that
school
line
bus
12,
operation,
page 3?
Page 4, line 4.
What about sporting events or field trips other that are not to and from school? Obviously, that's school bus use, but that's not really identified here. For kids who are getting on a bus to go visit the glacier or to go visit a gold mine or something like that, I assume that's still school bus covered. I mean, that's school bus operations.
Mr. Chair, there is a fine line there. So
that's what we like around here.
We don't have in this definition from school to school, but from school to school is implied, meaning that the student goes to school, and during the course of their school day, they are leaving the school as part of the curriculum for the school to go out and learn whatever the subject they're learning on and come back to the school. That is part of school bus operations. A sports team is a little different. We have the same requirements we were talking about earlier when we were talking about getting outside of 150 miles with a commercial vehicle. At that time, going from a high school to play a football game in Anchorage to Valdez, that is then regulated as a motor carrier of passengers. That's in line with the federal definition. The federal government has jurisdiction over passengers in the state of Alaska, and their rule is that above 15 passengers, more than 15, certain requirements need to be met for those vehicles. For instance, a logbook, certain qualifications for the driver.
And what if it's less than 150 miles, say Anchorage to Chugiak?
It would depend on the number of people in. Are we talking a motor coach or something less than?
School bus.
School bus.
That's what we're talking about here.
Outside of school, home to school, and home
a sporting event less than 150 miles on a school bus between two adjacent towns that aren't 250 miles apart, but 30 miles apart, you know, to Matsu or Anchorage.
Mr. Chair, that's a motor carrier of passengers,
and less than 100, even if it's
yes, sir.
Okay. Representative Nguyen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Smith, but that driver of that bus still has to have a certification on his CDL for motor vehicle passengers for buses. Is that correct? So that he's trained in proper safety procedures?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, you're correct. That professional driver of that vehicle would have to have an endorsement that allowed them to carry that amount of passengers.
For buses. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Does that complete
that your testimony? Wraps it up.
That wraps yes, it. Okay. Are there any questions? Representative Clayton.
I just want to, as to the school buses, they're treated as motor vehicle carriers as to commercial, as opposed to commercial motor vehicles, is the distinction. So it's not as if they're outside regulation. They're just not being regulated as commercial motor vehicles.
Through the chair, Representative Clayman, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Okay. And then I want to go back to the definition of covered farm vehicle. When I read covered farm vehicle, I sort of think like covered bridge, meaning a farm vehicle that has some sort of a top on it, whether it be I've seen many farm vehicles that have a metal shell or a trailer that has a tarp that's going over the top that keeps the load from spilling out. Is that what covered means, or does covered mean here just a covered farm vehicle that fits within the definition here?
Through the chair, Representative Clayman, the latter is correct. We're not talking about containing or confining a load, for instance. This is just getting us into that definition.
And the reason I was asking this is that in terms of machinery, there are some enormous tractors that are operating on farms, just like there's some enormous tractors that are operating in non-farm environments, and when they get moved, under commercial vehicles, there's a lot of regulations about what they can do and how they transport and signage that's required and whether they need trail vehicles or lead vehicles. If you've got some big farm tractor that essentially makes it an oversized load, does that get treated differently than oversized loads that aren't farm vehicles or that aren't owned by farmers?
Through the chair, Representative Clayman. The intent of this bill is to only affect legal size vehicles. Size and weight requirements would still be in effect. Implements of husbandry have certain exceptions. That wouldn't be like a large combine, for instance, being transported. That would be a tow-behind implement that we have exceptions for, that they have a little bit different requirements for their permitting of those oversized movements.
Well, and so I'm just looking, follow up.
Yep.
I'm just looking at page 3, line 28 and 29. You're telling me that it says used to transport agricultural commodities, livestock, machinery. So a combine is certainly agricultural machinery, and you're saying that something being used to transport a combine that's wider but not heavier than the limits would still be covered under existing commercial regulations and wouldn't be exempted from those by this new law?
Through the chair, Representative Clayman. What I'm saying is that the requirements of Chapter 25, that's the operations of wheeled vehicles, that speaks to requirements for oversized and overweight movements, those would still be in effect for these farm vehicles and the farm machinery.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have other people testifying today. We have some. Where's my sheet with all my information on it? I lost it already. We have other testifiers today. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
And we may get back to you. We have Abe Thompson. Abe, are you on the line?
Hello.
Could you identify yourself and present your testimony, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Aves Thompson. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement's an essential part of our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 314. Any effort to clarify the statutes makes it easier for our industry to understand and comply with the statutes and regulations governing the operation of our businesses. House Bill 314 reduces the burden on farmers and farm vehicles by removing the 150-mile restriction on farmers transporting their, quote, covered farm vehicles, in the conduct of their business and allows them to operate statewide. It does make clear that if they choose to enter the for-hire world, they will need to comply with the commercial vehicle rules and regulations. House Bill 314 provides certainty for motor carriers of passengers by clearly identifying school bus operations. School buses are not considered commercial vehicles while conducting, quote, school bus operations. They, too, will be required to comply with the commercial vehicle rules and regulations if they engage in for-hire transport in other than school bus operations. House Bill 314 also provides clarification for carriers transporting hazardous materials in amounts that require a placard. The ATA urges the committee to consider these changes favorably as they will provide valuable clarifications. I'll try to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. We have Arthur Keyes on the line, who is the Director of Agriculture from Palmer. Arthur, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. For the record, this is Arthur Keyes, the Director of Agriculture for the state of Alaska. House Bill 314, it makes sense for Alaska's farmers. The best example that I can give is McKinley Meat and Sausage is located here in Palmer, Alaska. It is the primary USDA slaughter facility, and any farmer traveling from, say, Kenai or Homer to this facility to process animals or use those services, and also any farmers traveling down from Delta Junction would be traveling beyond the 150-mile limit that's currently in existence, and this changing this law, which HB 314 does, it makes, like I said, it makes sense for Alaska's farmers, and it gives clarity to the farmers and certainty while transporting and operating their farm. So I thank you for your time. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Keyes. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. We will now move on. We have a few more testifiers. Let's go to Bruce Wrigley in Delta Junction. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, thank you. My name is Bryce Wrigley.
I'm sorry.
With Alaska Farm Bureau. I also support this bill. The 150-mile limit was a federally imposed restriction that really never made sense for most of the western states, especially not for Alaska. That federal restriction that has changed now allows us to extend that range to interstate. If there was ever a state that needed to make this change, it is Alaska. This bill will make it easier for farmers to get their crops to their markets, get supplies to their farms, and it will reduce confusion for motor vehicle enforcement officers to whether a farm vehicle is operating within its legal sphere. There are not very many of our communities that are actually within 150 miles of each other, so this is an important opportunity for us to be able to access or connect those markets with the farms. Thank you.
Thank you, Bryce. I'm sorry I called you Bruce earlier.
That's okay.
Any questions for Mr. Wrigley? Seeing none, let's move on to John Dart from Fairbanks. John, if you could identify yourself and your affiliation and give us your testimony.
My name is John Robert Dart. I represent Dartam Farms, LLC. I farm in Manly Hot Springs, Alaska, which is 165 miles by road to Fairbanks, Alaska. It's a 500-mile one-way trip to Anchorage, Alaska, where we sell produce. This bill... 314 makes 100% sense for our farm. One of the big challenges that we face, being a grower, packer, shipper, is that we have to do everything. And so our transportation is the one thing that is a very expensive part of our overall farm plan. I think legislators need to understand that we help other farmers, whether they be in Eureka, Alaska, along the way into town, or whether it's other farmers across the state. Those of us who are in this business want to see this industry grow, and this is a pretty easy step that makes 100% sense, as Bryce brought forth, and so did Arthur. So I would hope that you would consider it, pass it, and I'll stick around and speak to the Senate side. So thank you very much for your time, and all of the testimony that I heard from the state end made sense. It made sense from the trucking industry, and I can tell you that I appreciate all the hard work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dart. Any questions from the committee? Thank you for your testimony. We'll now go to Palmer, where we have William Longbreak. Are you there, William?
Hello?
Hi, could you identify yourself and your affiliation and you present your testimony to the committee, please?
Yes, sir. This is William Longbreak with Country Garden Farms in Palmer. We have a sod farm. We ship statewide. We also grow hay, and I help farmers in Delta sell their hay in the larger market here in the Valley and Anchorage. I support all the comments that have been made thus far. We have a growing livestock and grain market, and we need to, this will really help to grow that industry.
Thank you for your testimony, William. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you, William. I guess this, any questions or comments from the committee? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith, if you come back up here, please. And I didn't officially open public testimony earlier, but I'm going to retroactively open public testimony since we had public testimony, so... Mr. Smith, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I mean, Representative Newman, your question, please. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just was asking a question here because when we're a lot of times a farmer will have a semi, you know, with a flatbed, a tractor, truck with a semi after hauling bales of hay or fertilizer and stuff, but I believe that they normally have to be labeled as a commercial vehicle. So if to fall under this statute, how can that vehicle have a farm truck license plate on it or a plate that says farm? Because we've been noticed that that's the kind of app that's identified. We've looked at that and asked that question that says farm. So that's the question I have with the department. Is there an issue here?
For the record, again, my name is Dan Smith. I'm the Director of Measurement Standards and Commercial Vehicle Enforcement. Through the chair, Representative Newman, this change would affect vehicles below 26,001 pounds. Those are vehicles that do not require a commercial driver's license. And it would also apply to vehicles above 26,001 pounds. So those vehicles that would be your typical tractor-trailer combination, those will also fall under the definition of covered farm vehicle, and they would get those exceptions. As to the farm plate, yes, that would still be a requirement for them to have a farm plate. They would not have to have the markings of a commercial vehicle. That farm plate would identify them as a farmer's vehicle, and they would then get the exceptions.
Follow up, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Smith, then a vehicle over 10,000 pounds wouldn't have to be registered as a commercial vehicle. Then it could just be registered as a farm vehicle, even if it had a gross vehicle weight of 25,000 pounds and carrying capacity of 100,000.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, for purposes of title and registration, I don't want to speak for the DMV. For purposes of enforcement, it would not be a commercial vehicle in our eyes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newman and Mr. Smith. So now I'm confused. Is it here it says on page 3, line 22, it's amended to read commercial motor vehicle means a self-propelled or towed motor vehicle. And then it says has a gross vehicle weight ratings or gross combination weight rating 10,001 pounds or more. So would that qualify as a commercial vehicle rating?
Mr. Chair, I'll try to clarify by saying we're still saying you're a commercial vehicle.
Okay.
But you meet the exceptions that get you out of the requirements
okay.
for those vehicles.
Okay. So I guess my other question would be along what Representative Newman was asking. So let's say I own a farm equipment. I'm bringing hay from, you know, Homer to Anchorage. I drop my hay off. Now I have an empty truck and I want to bring something back. Maybe it's probably wouldn't be hay, but something. Could that then be used as a commercial? If you have an empty tractor trailer, can you or flatbed, can you then use it for strictly commercial load that's non-farm related? Could you be dual purpose?
Mr. Chair, that's a very good question. We see that every single day where people have different type of operations that are changing all the time. They might be doing interstate commerce. They might be doing intrastate commerce. They might be operating as a farm vehicle. They might be operating as a for-hire motor carrier. So through the driver interview, that's what we're trying to understand is what are your operations for that day and what are you carrying? If you're carrying a hazardous material, for instance, then we would be looking to make sure that you're meeting all of those emergency response requirements that we'd be looking for. So, yes, it doesn't pigeonhole you into one type of operations.
So follow-up would be if you, again, did one leg as a farm vehicle and then you switch to a commercial vehicle for the other half of your trip or another portion of your trip, would you take off your farm plate and put on a commercial plate? And you're saying if you interview the driver, I guess, at a way station, but maybe there isn't one on that route, is there a way that someone driving by would know the function of that? Is it a farm or non-farm vehicle use at that time?
Mr. Chair, the requirements for commercial vehicles are quite extensive. So it's easy for us to quickly identify a vehicle that's being operated as a commercial vehicle. Markings, for instance, on the vehicles, there are certain requirements for lights, markings, tires, brakes, all sorts of things that we're looking at as we screen vehicles that may roll through a way station or perhaps we're in an enforcement vehicle. It's very I've been teaching that to people for 15 years on how we can quickly identify those vehicles. Now, when we're looking at farm vehicles, that's a little harder for us. And so generally, we would have to talk to the driver, and that's where that farm plate is really key for us to make that quick determination.
So if the vehicle is being dual-purpose, farm and commercial, then obviously you'd recognize it as a commercial vehicle, even if it, for half of the trip it was being used as a farm vehicle.
Yes, Mr. Chair. That's okay. more likely the situation.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, I think we will set this bill aside for our next meeting, and I think we...
Thank you.
Will of the committee?
I'm going to adjourn this meeting, and I guess I'll close public testimony in case someone wants to, I can leave it open and close the next meeting. So I'm going to leave it open. Next meeting, I can close it. We can... wrap this thing up, but just in case there's any other amendments or any other thoughts that committee members may have in the next day or so. So I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 1:53, and we will come back to HB 314 at our next meeting.